Meeting of the Cambria Community Services District Board of Directors will come to order. Please rise and join me with the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag and country. Ready? Begin. The agenda today.
Mr. President, we'd like to poll 8A and actually 8A we'd like to move just right after this agenda review. We've got some people from Sacramento looking at our grant projects today, and it starts at 1 o'clock, so Connie would like to be able to present it before they get here.
Is that 8A or 9A?
Is it 10? 9A?
9A.
Okay.
So we'll take up 9A right after we finish with the agenda review.
Can I add one second?
I had them backwards. Okay. Yeah, we'd like to also like to postpone 8A to the August meeting.
Now, I understand the appellant couldn't make the meeting today. Is that correct, or didn't receive notice of the meeting?
They didn't get proper notice. They need a little bit more time, and we'd like to give them that.
Okay, so 8A is continued to the August meeting.
Mr. President.
Director Shalvacott.
8A, regarding the water use one, there's a report from the water department saying they've checked out the home, and I'd really like to know what that is at the next meeting.
General Manager, I'm sure you can supply that information. Anything else from the general manager?
That's it.
Director Funky Blue, you had an item that you wanted to pull?
Yes, I'd like to have pulled item 7C and item 7G.
And G as in George.
G as in the deposed King of England, George, yes.
As in George the Third, okay. Mad King George, all right. And I would like to pull consent calendar item 7E and 7J. So 7C, E, G, and J have been pulled from the consent calendar. Any other items to be pulled from the consent calendar, or with item 9A, from the staff perspective, we'll be meeting with those people, and that's the reason we have to take these out of turn. So with that, Connie Davidson, would you like to come up and kick off item 9A?
My pleasure. Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for moving this item up to accommodate our schedule today. The Santa Rosa Creek project is actually a combination stream bank and trail project that we received a grant award from the State Parks Department under their riparian and riverine grant program about 3 years ago. And it's been under the radar screen, but there's been a lot of work being done on it because of the sensitive nature of creeks, obviously. We've been going through the environmental processing and permitting phases of it, and next week we have all of our permits, just brought in the Army Corps permit very recently, and we are now ready to start construction. We'll be doing prep work out there next week. Do we have a slide out? The project is located west of Highway 1. There's two entry points. One is at Highway 1, just south of Cambria Drive, and the other entry point is on Windsor near Highway 1. And I hope you can see that. The trail runs, it's about a mile trail, a small portion of it on the Highway 1 side, south of Cambria Drive, is a utility, a CCSD utility easement road. And the trail runs parallel, basically, with the creek. The main purpose of this project is to restore 200 feet of severely degraded, eroded section of creek for habitat protection, in particular the steelhead trout. The second one is to repair, in repairing this erosion, will eliminate or prevent damage to the utility easement road. And I think that road or those lines have been moved once before because of erosion. This will prevent that, this project. And then the other is to add a really lovely trail section to Cambria's growing trail system. So those are the three key issues on this grant. It is a $275,000 project. It is a 100% grant. There is no match. Bob Gressens wrote this grant application early 2002. And so we're now at the point where we can make this a reality. The construction is going to be, the Land Conservancy of San Luis Obispo is, we contracted with them about a year and a half, 2 years ago, CCSD did, to handle all of the permitting and the construction management on this. And they have teamed up with the California Conservation Corps, who's also building our bluff trail. Nice partnership. Brian Stark, the director, has done a fabulous job in getting all these permits worked through the system. And he's here today for any technical questions you might have about this, particularly the stream bank restoration or anything that you might want to know about the trail. It is going to be a decomposed granite trail. It's got lots of vegetation encroaching on it right now, so all of that is going to be dealt with, and it's going to be a nice trail pretty quickly once it's done. And then there's also the neat thing, too, is it's a connector to the Crosstown Trail. When the flood control project gets in and we get the signal there at Cambria Drive, it'll be a nice connector there. It's a connector to the East-West Ranch and Moonstone Drive as well. So there's a nice, this is a nice piece of this growing Cambria trail system that we've got going. Anything else you want to know? I think I've covered the overview.
Any questions of Connie?
Yeah, I have a question. My eyesight is not what it once was. Is Highway 1 in that diagram at all?
Yes. It's the middle tab at the lower part. If you can see that, there's a type tab that just says Highway 1. Well, you obviously can't see that, but that's where Highway 1 runs. And then you'll see the project occurring on the west side of Highway 1.
And the trail crosses Highway 1?
No, it does not. It's on the west side. It just it runs parallel with the creek on the west side there.
Connie, do you have a printed version of the map that you can share with Jack?
Unfortunately, I don't have it with me, but okay. I can get you one.
We can get you one.
We did, Jack. Yeah, and we did send out billing. In our last bill, we sent out a flyer to the entire community letting them know about this project, pretty much summarizing what I just did. And so I'd be happy. I'm sorry?
It's on the website.
Oh, that's right. It is on the website. If you can get on...
There you go.
The internet.
Technology. See how great it is?
But if not, I'm more than happy to send you a copy. I can take your address or...
Okay. Is Brian Stark here today?
Yes, he is.
Brian, would you like...
Rare plants that are on the site. We expect to break ground on the actual creek bank project on August 8th. So we'll be moving in heavy equipment and materials in at that time. I expect the project, the creek project itself, the heavy equipment work to take no more than about 10 days of work, and then we'll have some follow-up stuff to do with the revegetation project afterwards. So we'll be replanting the entire resloped area as well. The project is also, I thought while I'm here, I could mention a few other projects going on in the creek this summer and pending to show how this project combines with other projects on the creek to address steelhead issues. We have a grant pending right now for the creek bank opposite our current work site, so what looks to be sort of your north bank there. That's for another stabilization area to protect washout on that terrace up there. That bank is depositing a lot of sediment down into the creek and filling in pools. We also have a grant application pending for a watershed enhancement plan. which will be an analysis of trout habitat needs around the Santa Rosa Creek area and a potential list of projects that could be done to improve trout habitats. Recently, the Regional Water Quality Control Board allocated funds for some work at the Ferrasti Road crossing, which is the highest ranked fish barrier in our county in terms of its importance for removal. We'll be working with Green Space, the Cambria Land Conservancy, and trying to raise the additional funding for that. That project won't be built imminently. That one might still be a few years down the line. That's a complex project. Green Space is also working this summer and will break ground very soon on a bank stabilization and erosion control project just upstream from the Frasky Road crossing on the Fiscalini property. And we'll also be doing a fish habitat enhancement project at Burton Drive. There's a fish migration problem underneath there, and they should be addressing that as well. So it looks like we're gearing up for a couple of good years of work for the creek and the steelhead trout.
That's terrific. Any questions of Brian Stark? Great. Thank you, Brian, very much for Brian Bode. Join me at the podium, and we'll have Joyce come up as well. Joyce? Joyce, we're going to miss you very much. Brian, I'm going to give you the honors of reading this proclamation. All right?
Will do. This is from Cambria Community Services District, proclamation honoring Joyce Hannum for nearly 14 years of service with the community. Whereas Joyce Hannum, a Cambrian resident since 1982, has worked for the Cambria Community Services District since November 4, 1991, and whereas during the course of her career with the district as Clerical Assistant 1, Senior Clerical Assistant, District Secretary, Acting District Clerk / Administrative Assistant, Utilities Coordinator, and District Permits and Conservation Specialist, initiated improvements in the district process and business practices. And whereas she was shown tremendous flexibility, competence, and dedication in handling her wide variety of roles during her tenure at the CCSD. And whereas she has successfully implemented the district's water conservation program and demonstrated ingenuity in her personal water conservation habits, providing an excellent role model for the community. And whereas she has worked closely with real estate community, home buyers, and sellers in providing accurate, up-to-date information to the status of water permits and the CCSD retrofit program. And whereas Joyce Hannum is appreciated for her knowledge to the district and patience in the course of communicating with customers, diffusing controversial situations, working cheerfully under challenged circumstances, and providing stability among staff. And whereas she is retiring from the CCSD, looking forward to spending more time gardening, birding, and remodeling her new home in Mason County, Washington. And now, therefore, by virtue of authorized vested me as president, Board of Directors, on behalf of the entire board, the district staff, and all their Cambrians, on this day, July 28, 2005, I hereby present to Joyce Hannum this proclamation of public recognition, extending her to our deep appreciation for her distinguished service and our best wishes for continued success in all her retirement and future endeavors. Awesome.
My main focus has always been the waiting list. I've shepherded some 700 people through the process of building, and many more just through the ins and outs of buying and selling and transferring positions. Everyone on the list is familiar to me in some way. Quite a few are like old friends. I have answered the same questions thousands of times, and yet now and then I still hear a new one. So although it's been a little tedious at times, it's never been boring. My mantra has always been to treat others the way I want to be treated, and so not only do I strive to be helpful to my customers, but I'm also careful of what I expect from other public servants when I deal with them from the other side of the desk. It's a very simple rule, but its effects are far-reaching. The wisdom I've gained from my tenure here at CCSD will add color to all my future endeavors. It's been an educational experience I couldn't have gotten anywhere else, and so I feel like this is my graduation. Thank you all for sharing this chapter in my life.
be right back. We also have a recognition this afternoon of Hank Zebley, who is retiring from the PROS Commission. Hank, are you here? Please, come on up. And Jim Ellman, would you come up with him? Hank, welcome. How are you? Jim, I'm going to give you the honor, since you're the chairman of the PROS Commission, of reading Hank's proclamation.
Proclamation recognizing PROS Commissioner Hank Zebley, this date. Whereas Hank Zebley served as Commissioner of the Parks, Recreation, and Open Space Commission from July 1, 2001 to July 1, 2005, and whereas he served as PROS Fire Committee Chair and participated in the development of an emergency evacuation route plan for Cambrians, and whereas a member of the Cambria Corral, he has been an avid supporter of developing and improving Cambria Trail System, and whereas he demonstrated leadership and dedication as a member of the PROS Trails Committee, success in all his future endeavors. Signed by Greg Sanders.
Now, Hank, I'm going to let you say a few words, but don't tell us you're going to ride off into the sunset. You know.
Now, I just want to say I have enjoyed my time here, and I especially enjoy working on the PROS Commission, which I think is really a good, strong part of our community, and I appreciate all the people I've worked with. I think all the things that we've gone through, the current management is about as good as I've seen either here or anywhere else. I want to thank everybody.
Thanks very much, Hank. Appreciate it. You bet. Jim?
Hank, I just want to say one thing as well. As most of you know, we have Hank is on the Trails Committee of the Parks and Recreation Open Space Commission. And one of the offshoots of that committee is Doug Buckmaster's group, which we call the Ranch Hands, and I'm sure you've all heard of them. And Hank is one of the real hard workers on the Ranch Hands. And I can recall a couple years ago at about 7 o'clock in the morning, and we were all out there working on putting these boardwalk in across the East-West Ranch on the Bluff Trail. And Hank was out there with us at 7 o'clock in the morning. I think he stayed there for many, many hours. And he's really been a hard worker for this community. Yeah, very typical.
Next, we have a proclamation recognizing Robert Mueller and Pragna Patel for their allowing our fire department to use the Moonstone Antique Emporium building for training before it was torn down, and we have Chief Putney up here to present that resolution. Robert, how are you? Nice to meet you. Congratulations. Chief?
This is a proclamation honoring Robert Mueller and Pragna Patel. Whereas Robert Mueller and Pragna Patel have generously contributed their time and energy to support the Cambria Fire Department with our need for a training facility, and whereas Robert Mueller and Pragna Patel have allowed the Cambria Fire Department to utilize their vacant building located at 5620 Moonstone and provided dinner at one of the last large multiple company fire training exercises to all the agencies that participated at no cost to the Cambria Fire Department, whereas Robert Mueller and Pragna Patel epitomize true community-spirited neighbors with a true humanitarian ethic and a willingness to help, and whereas all fire department and other allied fire and rescue personnel, residents and visitors to Cambria alike, have benefited tremendously from their generosity and true community support and service, now therefore, by the authority vested in the President and on behalf of the Board of Directors and staff of the Cambria Community Services District, the President hereby extends to Robert Mueller and Pragna Patel this 28th day of July 2005, the deep appreciation of the entire Cambria community and the staff and the employees of the Cambria Community Services District for their exemplary and distinguished community service. Robert, thank you very much.
I'm sorry that Pragna can't be here with us because one of us always has to work, it seems. The development process isn't one that's always pleasant, and it's not always a welcome task. We work very hard at it, and when Bob offered us the opportunity to do some community service, it was something that, you know, we often find missing in our daily activity where we actually can spend our time to give something back to the community that we work in. It's very important to us, and we will always continue to do that. The mistake we made was offering to bring some food out to the group that one night, and you know, we thought that they'd be there a couple hours and that we'd have a nice relaxing evening, and you know, they stayed and stayed, and we were freezing out there. And but we actually, it reinforced the idea that here were people working long and hard into the night doing this service. A lot of those guys are volunteers. It was really nice to be able to give the fire department this building to use. And Bob and I are both glad that it's gone. We don't worry anymore that it's going to depart some other way than get knocked down.
Good. Thanks, Bob. Okay. And thank you very much, Robert. Appreciate it. And finally, we have a very pleasurable event here, and I'm going to call Chief Putney back up again, and our new Assistant Fire Chief, Mark Miller. And Chief, you're going to administer the oath of office. Is that correct? Or is Kathy? Okay.
Foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
And that I will bear true faith and allegiance.
And that I will be our true faith and allegiance.
To the constitutions of the United States.
To the constitutions of the United States.
And of the state of California.
And of the state of California.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge my duties.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge my duties
with the Cambria Community Services District Fire Department.
With the Cambria Community Services District Fire Department.
Upon which I am about to enter.
Upon which I am about to enter.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Chief Putney, I'm going to give you the honor of pinning Assistant Chief Miller's badge on him.
Be careful.
Trained professional. All
right. We have paramedics standing by. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Would you like to say a few words?
Yes, I would. Thank you. This is an honor. This is a great honor for me. I've spent 30 years in the fire service, a world away from here. And it's prepared me for this opportunity to come to this fine community, join this fine fire department. I want everyone here to know that I'll do my best to preserve the honor and the integrity of the fire service, the Cambria Fire Department, the community of Cambria. And I will always serve and try to provide the utmost in customer service and fire safety to the community. And this has been a great honor for me, and I want you all to understand how fired up I am for this opportunity. Thank you. Thank you.
For those people who didn't understand when we first started, Mark is the assistant chief to the department, and primarily he will be he'll be our fire marshal. He'll be taking care of all the fire marshal duties in Cambria. So we welcome Mark to our department. We're glad to have him.
Thank you, Chief Putney, and welcome aboard, Mark. Looking forward to working with you. A lot of work to be done, as you know.
The whole day. The weekend went well in our perspective. If anybody sees anything that we can do better next year,
either email me or give me a phone call, and I'd be happy to discuss it. The other thing I'd like to talk about is the burglaries that have been occurring in Cambria. Makes me feel so short. Is that better?
It will come out of the receptacle there. You can pull it out and hold it. There you go.
There we go. Is that better? Okay. Yeah. The Cambria burglaries we've been having. What I've done is, besides just the extra patrol at night, I've assigned our special problems unit, who are undercover folks. So hopefully you won't even see them. They work at night, and will hopefully we'll work on that issue. However, we had a couple suspects, not enough to arrest. We did arrest one individual for an unrelated item, and things have slowed. So whether that's a coincidence or not, we don't know at this time, but we don't have enough to charge anybody with the burglaries yet. However, I want to assure the community that it is still ongoing, and we are still working on it. And if anybody has any questions...
Any questions? Apparently not. Thank you for the report. We appreciate it. We'll now move to a report on the Water Master Plan, desalination, and water storage facilities. And in the absence of the district engineer, Bob Gressens, who is on vacation, Brian Bode, our acting general manager, will give the report.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's just a one-page report, so I'll just go ahead and read his words here. I'll except for the first paragraph. Pine Knolls tank replacement on July 8, 2005. Tammy Rudock, Brian Bode, and myself met at the Coastal Commission staff in Santa Cruz to review the draft layout that considered the conditions imposed as a result of the June 9, 2005 Coastal Commission hearing. The district also submitted a letter requesting reconsideration of the California Coastal Commission's June 9, 2005 action. To date, this report, July 22, 2005, we have not heard back from the Coastal Commission staff. Therefore, we are currently waiting on a response from the CCC, or California Coastal Commission staff, before we have anything further to report. Desalinization. The past month's efforts have focused on completing the environmental clearance document to support the review period will occur in September. In addition to reviewing the work of BIPADRE, we have also been working with Army Corps of Engineers staff in responding to questions associated with the signing off of the project cooperation agreement and project management plan. We believe those questions have been answered, which would mean that the Corps should be close to wrapping up their final review and approval process. These later efforts are necessary in order to comply with Federal Water Resource and Development Act funding, Water Master Plan, EIR, and Build-Out Reduction Planning. RBF focus was shifted towards assisting staff in reviewing and completing the county's Cambria and San Simeon Acres Plan document. Although Planning Commission hearings on the county document may occasionally require RBF's assistance, their effort has been refocused back on completing the draft EIR for the Water Master Plan and completion of the Build-Out Reduction Plan. Initial administrative review documents should be forthcoming during the late August, mid-September timeframe. And the Urban Water Management Plan update. In the months ahead, we'll be working on editing the Urban Water Management Plan in order to pass Department of Water Resources requirements. Most of the documents is now complete except for meeting DWR's redefined criteria for documenting water conservation. A DWR approval Urban Water Management Plan update is needed to allow the district to qualify for Proposition 50 funds. A second grant submittal and process evaluation period for Prop 50 desalinization funding will occur towards the end of this year. And that's the close of his report.
Thank you, Brian. Any questions of the acting general manager?
Yeah, Mr. President.
Yes, Director Chalmers.
It'll be 3 weeks tomorrow that we are a Coastal Commission. Is there no feedback from them?
I haven't heard anything back yet.
Yeah.
I did get one email from staff saying that they were busy and they would keep in contact, but they didn't have anything to report yet.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions of the acting general manager? Currently not. Thank you very much. We will now move to managers and board reports, and we'll begin with the general manager's report. Brian, back to you.
President Sanders, I'm sorry, excuse me. I believe item 5 is what we're on in the public comment.
Oh, I'm sorry.
For number 5.
Okay. We do have a request to speak from Susan Harvey. I apologize. I didn't mean to pass you by there. I misread the
That's
slip.
All right. I wasn't sure of the procedure, or I would have handed that in, you know, before the item started. So thank you.
Sure.
And thank you all for this opportunity to speak. I am Susan Harvey. I have spoken at numerous public forums from the federal and state level down to advisory and ad hoc groups on issues of importance to the residents of San Luis Obispo County. I have spoken on behalf of organizations and myself. I am a grassroots activist.
Comments.
Well, this is has to do with the water tank issue and your litigation.
Okay, this has to do, the report has to do with the status of construction of the water tank. If you want to speak to tangential issues, I think you can join the others who are here today who want to speak to those issues during the public comment period.
So you wouldn't consider comments on the litigation as part of this item?
No.
All right. Thank you.
You bet. Okay, we'll now move on to the managers and board reports, and we'll have the acting general manager give the general manager's report. Brian?
All righty. Start off with human resources. Staff will be reviewing applicants received for 3 vacant positions recently advertised for recruitment: fire engineer, administrative technician 2, and administrative tech 1. Responses were very good for each position. Selected candidates will be interviewed and tested next. Parks and Rec, highlights from the July 13, 2005 PROS Commission meeting. Hank Zimbley resigned as commissioner for personal family reasons. Commissioners expressed sincere appreciation for Hank's service, as we did here today. Commissioner Zebley reported that the Cambria Corral is working on a plan. Proposed horse riding events on East West Ranch would be reviewed by the CCSD and North Coast SWAP. Commissioner Figler reported that Cambria lawn bowlers are seeking $5,000 per year from the CCSD to add to their funding for a new replacement green in a few years. San Luis Obispo County proposed zoning on East West Ranch in the draft LCP was discussed in CCSD's feedback. It was confirmed that the East West Ranch will be zoned open space and the East Ranch will be zoned recreation and open space. Commissioner Briglio reported that Parks and Recreation survey is finished, and the report, along with the executive summary, would be forwarded to the general manager for presentation to the CCSD Board of Directors. Commissioner Briglio reported that PROS sponsored workshop on recreational programs for youth and adults. There were 14 participants, and the report is available. Commissioner Buckmaster requested action by the way of a letter supporting private property owners offered to construct local trail section near Windsor Boulevard and Moonstone Beach, which would link the Crosstown Trail. And the next regularly scheduled PROS Commission meeting is Wednesday, August 10th at 5 o'clock p.m. at the CCSD Suite 204. Santa Rosa Stream Bank Restoration Trail Project, we've already gone over that, so I'll just let that, that's over with. Cell tower.
There was a work day.
That's a little dated. Cell tower, maintaining communications with T-Mobile, they said has been difficult, and they found the contract with T-Mobile for cell sites on the Central Coast, but he is being transferred with no communication for months, so it's kind of on hold. They said Lauren LaJoy, the county consultant on the project, had a name for the cell contact, and I guess Singular's getting into it now, so they're just having some trouble getting it, but they're still trying to put the tower on the site. Conservation easement monitoring. We have completed our annual monitoring of the ranch, and our report should be done by the end of June, which is probably already done. Anyway, and that'll probably be here next month. We'll put in here wildflower show. I don't know if we missed that one or not at all. Our first annual wildflower show that was already here was a great success, over 400 specimens on display and identified with labels. I'd like to go see that myself sometime. The education event will continue on an annual basis in the fourth week in April. So put that on your calendar. And erosion control project, North Coast SWAP has been meeting with Resource Conservation District in Templeton to work out erosion control project. for at least one of the major problem areas on the East-West Ranch. They'll be working with Ben Bohr, identifying problem areas, and we'll include him in his, any of their plans. Funding may be granted on the project, but we don't know yet. And that's, I think that's it.
Okay. Any questions of the acting general manager on the general manager's report or the report from SWAP? Apparently not. We'll move on to the report from the fire chief. Chief Putney?
Thank you, President Sanders. I will cover some high points of my report since it's in front of you. As from January 1st till July 20th, we've had 81 fire plan reviews submitted to the department, so it's been a fairly busy year. Fire investigations, I reported preliminarily last month that we had a commercial fire in Tin City, and that's reported in detail in here. There was smoke damage throughout the entire business. They had quite a bit of fire damage inside. Our crews and CDF Cayucas fire crews were able to keep it to the one commercial occupancy that was involved. The cause of the fire was an electrical short in one of the vehicles that was being repaired inside the garage. Subsequent to that, on July 12th and July 15th, we had two additional vehicle fires. One was behind Lynn's restaurant in East Village. And the gentleman was traveling from the eastern part of the United States with the van owner. We found out that this was caused because of a defective part that's been identified in a recall of Ford vehicles. It's a short in the cruise control that can ignite even when the vehicle's turned off. The last fire occurred while the vehicle was being driven with two young children inside it. The vehicle caught fire because of the electrical main power going from the battery to the motor had scraped up against the body enough that it had arced across and ignited the wiring. That was put out by a passerby, and with the help of the Cambria Community Healthcare District Crisis Intervention Team, we were able to get the children and their mother in another car and get them home and get the vehicle towed away, and it should be able to be repaired in good order without a lot of damage. Our fire hazard fuel reduction program final clearance is done, and the lots have gone to contract. This year we had just shy of 1,900 parcels that were on the clearance list, and 1,436 of those parcels were cleared before the deadline, so 393 parcels will be going to contract. And people all around Cambria are asking, we see the lots are cleared, but there's a lot of debris stacked up in front. Because of the sheer volume of the number of lots that need to be cleared, we do allow the contractors to clear the lots and then come and they do entire haul days where they drive from lot to lot, pick up the materials and haul them out of the neighborhood, and we will make sure that that's done. The 8th annual, and this is the first time that Cambria will have two chipping events in 1 year, and that will be held August 13th and 14th. Members of the audience or on TV that are listening to this can go to CambriaCSD.org on the website, look on events, and download the form and drop it by the fire department or the CSD office, and we will chip material off of your property and blow it back down. And this will be the first time we've done two in 1 year, so we're looking forward to that as a means to reduce some of the fuel that's out there that could sustain a wildfire in our community. I'm very happy to report that after 4 years of talks and working with the State Department of Parks and Recreation in Hearst Castle, that we were able to work with them and convince them, and they came to the plate to do some defensible space clearance along Moonstone Beach. So you notice the Santa Rosa Day use and the Leffingwell launch ramp area and the old place that's called Firehouse Hill has been undergoing a lot of understory remediation and brush removal. That some of that's been dead for 15, 20 years, and they have not touched it. So that's an area that's extremely dry. We're worried about tourists in there being careless with any sort of fire whatsoever. And with the winds we have coming off the ocean, it would drive it right into the commercial area off Moonstone Beach Drive, across Highway 1 and into our community. So it's great that that's finally low-cost crop circles, in case anybody asks, on the top of the West Ranch. They're an area where we shave the grass down in a 100-foot circle so that if firefighters were attempting to fight a fire and it got too far out of control, they could retreat to that area and be out of harm's way so they could survive the fire. Recently, we responded to a large wildland fire in Park Hill with our water tender. It was gone for about 4 or 5 hours. Since I wrote this report, it's been gone over there again for a fire. There was two fires that occurred in 1 day. A recent countywide training exercise that we participated in helped our people be more familiar with the area and help us respond quicker to help that area out in those fires. They've had several large fires. I'd like to remind all residents that although that's inland, it's east of Atascadero, it's certainly a sign of the times that our vegetation is drying out, and the coastal vegetation here is parched as well. We may be a couple weeks behind them, but it's very dry, and it's very prone to fire right now, so we certainly need to be aware of that. We introduced Mark Miller today. He came to us from Westminster, Colorado. He's been a pleasure to work with so far. The only problem is that his head's not big enough for all the information I'm giving him daily, so I'm trying to meter it so I don't overload him. So anyway, he's doing a great job. And our personnel are continuing. They're almost halfway done with performing maintenance and reviewing the condition of all the fire hydrants in Cambria. Captain Bitto and the other, under his direction, the other two captains have undertaken that. And we would remind everybody that a lot of people have decorated and put in trash receptacles and lattice work and planted plants and things around the fire hydrant. We need a 10-foot clearance. That's state fire code minimum clearance around the hydrant so that we can find it in an emergency, connect fire hoses to it, and use that water to put out a fire. So please don't obstruct those hydrants at all. And they are going around and clearing that vegetation out. And that's pretty much it, other than to date, and this was as of July 19th, we've had 433 calls for service this year. That's up a little bit from last year. A lot of that was influenced by the one day on January 7th where we had the sailboat fatality and the large storm here where we had 50 calls in a 24-hour period in one day. So calls are up, but and we've had a tragic week in the last week, both here in Cambria and outside, with a lot of fatal vehicle accidents that have been tough for our staff, the Department of Forestry, and other people to deal with. We hope that trend goes down. We hope that that does not continue to occur. I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you, Chief Putney. Any questions of the chief? I have a comment. Chief, you mentioned lean on them a little bit to tidy it up after they finish a lot clearance.
Absolutely. We get a lot of complaints of all the people who clear lots that they scatter debris in the street. We try to respond out very timely and take a look at them. Several times a contractor has been trying to meet the deadline of clearance of the lots, so the lot does not go to contract, so they go back the next day and clear it up. And although I certainly understand that, we don't condone that because that lets the debris spread to other neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. I have seen all the contractors out with, especially when we drive around the corner with lawn rakes and things, picking it up, but we will lean on all of them and make sure they clean it up and that they do their job.
Super. Thank you. Okay. We'll now move to the utility manager's report. Brian Bode, you're on again.
Good. I'll make this short. I know how. Well levels are up. We're about on the highest curve like we were in 98, so that's looking real good for our water supply. But I still point out that conservation is the only way to go. We don't know when we're going to get the next rains. I go to solids dewatering. The minor use permit left the county, went to the Coastal Commission. I haven't heard back from them yet, but we're waiting for that. Automatic meter reading. MVP is the contractor in town. He's got about half the meters in now. They're going along pretty good. We've had a few little complaints here and there, but anybody sees anything wrong with their house or anything going wrong with their water or anything like that, just give the district office a call, you know, quickly, and we'll respond to it as fast as we can. And but from a couple thousand meters going in, it's going pretty good. We wanted it to go a lot faster, but it's a little bit harder than they anticipated. But we're kind of satisfied at least it's getting done and it's going in fine. And we can read about 750 meters in less than an hour. So that's looking up. SCADA system, we met and finalized the SCADA master plan. It'll probably be reprinted and be out. Maybe it's out already, but it should be done by now. One of the things we wanted to focus on was, since it had a high tag cost to it of $1.3 million estimate to do the whole thing, and we really don't have those kind of funds right now, is to phase it out. So part of the new master plan will have a phased-in project in it, and the first thing we need to do is come up with a backbone system, and we'll be coming to the board for that next. Wastewater plant maintenance, I just wanted to comment on this, one complaint on that. We just let everybody know that within a week or two that'll be gone. We'll be done with it for at least another year, probably two. And it's just something we don't do very often, but it's the kind of equipment we need to do that kind of a job. And the weeds, Bob Putney talked about the weeds. I just encourage that people be vigilant. We got some late rains, got a lot of water, and some of them are growing back. And even around people's houses, they want to just take a look and knock them back if they're long. And you know, you can still catch fire again. That's the end of my report. Any questions?
Thank you, Brian. Any questions of the utility manager for his report?
Let me just ask a question to avoid interrupting the consent agenda. The automatic meter reading, what are your possible cost savings you see coming on with that?
Well, we ran an estimate when we first did this, and there's a lot of speculation because based on things that we don't know. One of the things we knew that a lot of the meters out there were very old, and they weren't reading very accurate on the bottom end of their flow, like under 3 gallons a minute. Some of the meters, the commercial meters we had that, you know, 2 gallons a minute, they wouldn't even register that, just let it slide through. So we knew that was a problem, and we could recoup on it. How much that would be, we really don't know. But we also had a meter reading contract that we had out there. We know we can recoup the costs on that because it's not going to take an operator very much time to go out and do it. Plus, we'd be able to possibly read them more often and, if not, do billing once a month, but at least give people that have tampers, or not tampers, but leak detections on them, we can give them a heads up, call them, and let them take a look at their meter. We've also testing a device now that customers will be able to get in the future, and it's a little device that they can put on their refrigerator or on their wall, and it actually reads the meter. It tells you what's going on outside, and you can program it to do a batch load in your washing machine. You can see how many gallons it takes to do the water in there, and also it'll give you an indication if you have a leak in your system, if the meter didn't shut off for a two-hour period in any 24 hours. So people could actually take control of it right from their house and see if something's going wrong, and if they see a leak, they can call us up and find that out. Regardless, it's really difficult to figure out how much we're going to save on that, but one thing we know for sure is the meters were very old. They should be replaced every 10 years, and over 90% of the meters, that wasn't the case in town. They were older than that, and we needed to do it anyway. But we can see that by being able to read the meters and accurate meters, we'll get a better idea of exactly how much water is going through the meter and how much is
left. Can't get away. You thought you retired.
Not yet. No, not quite. Here for a little while longer. I'm here with a few words from the Water Conservation Department. Convenience is a way of life these days. Everyone's always in a hurry. We have convenience stores and fast food, instant coffee, instant oatmeal, instant hot water. What? You'd have to wait for your hot water? Do you turn on your shower and go make a cup of coffee while you wait for the hot water to come out? Well, that's a waste of our precious water, isn't it? If your Cambria home was built more than 15 years ago without a hot water loop in the plumbing, and you have to wait more than 20 seconds to get your hot water out of a faucet or your shower, we can help you fix that problem. For a limited time, CCSD is offering free hot water recirculation pumps for you to install in your home. These pumps would ordinarily cost you about $200 to buy. Installation can be done by handy do-it-yourselfers or by your favorite plumber. To qualify, you must be a full-time resident of Cambria and currently use an average of at least 12 units of water per billing period. For more details, give us a call at 927-6225. There's also some flyers on the back table here today, and you could be enjoying instant hot water, too. I also want to introduce our new series of water brochures that are now available in the office, and there's some on the back table here, too. The first one is called Understanding Residential Water Use and talks about typical water fixtures and common problems that can occur. The second one is called Reading Your Water Meter, and the third is Identifying and Repairing Toilet Leaks. These brochures can help you understand your water system so that you're better able to catch problems at an early stage and avoid those scary high water bills. I hope these will be a useful addition to the information center in our front office. Thank you.
Thank you, Joyce. Any questions of Joyce?
No, but that's probably the last we'll hear from Joyce. So, yeah, your swan song. Where you're going, you're not going to worry about, you know, water conservation. You're going to be growing gills.
Yeah. State of Washington is awash in water. Joyce, thanks again for all of your many years of dedicated service, not only to the district, but to the community as a whole. Thank you. We'll now move to the finance officer's report. Patrick Bradley.
Thank you, President Sanders, members of the board. You have my report in front of you. I just would like to expand on a couple of items in the report. One is we just finished our 04-05 fiscal year, and we particularly in our general didn't anticipate. There are some new things that have surfaced general fund-wise, which we need to fund and take a look at. And we will be coming back to you with a list of these requirements and these needs, and we'll have to prioritize just how we're going to spend the general fund money. As an example of some of the items, for example, open space maintenance, I've gotten two requests from Ben Bohr, one for a piece of equipment and also just to clear the lots that we've just picked up from the Land Conservancy. These were things we did not budget for when we approved the budget for the 05-06 year. Chief Putney just introduced to you the Assistant Fire Chief, Fire Marshal, and he's will be looking for a vehicle. The chief is also would like to, we haven't given the reserve firefighters a pay raise in quite some time, so we'll be coming back with, and that's also a general fund request. So there's a number of things that are coming up to the plate here that are going to compete for our general fund money. A correction I should make, I had on here segment 2 of the Crosstown Trail, and it is really segment 3. Segment 3 and 4 are the two components of the Crosstown Trail that were not completed. I think we're working on trying to get some numbers together to see if we're going to continue that project. So once we get all of that, we'll be coming back to you with that as well. The bottom line is that these are all general fund competing needs, and we will need to prioritize them. So that concludes my report. I will entertain any comments or questions that you may have.
Any questions?
Yes. Thank you. Patrick, in your report, you stated $35,640 was spent for the community center. Is that true?
That is correct.
My recollection was that we would only fund activities as opposed to salaries. Is that your recollection?
What my recollection is that we were funding fundraising activities. Now, whether that I didn't see any exclusion to salaries in there. We get a detail from the community center detailing what they've spent for the particular period of time. Salaries were included in there, particularly they have an events coordinator. So that's my recollection of it.
Now, President Sanders, am I misrecollecting? I thought that was. We made that real clear, my recollection was you who assured me and the public that the money would fund activities.
Audit of the expenditure of the funds. And I'm sure that could be completed by the August meeting.
It can be.
And the community center issue is coming back to the board in August. It had been originally scheduled to come back to the board in July, but because of the inability of the general manager to attend this month's meeting, it's been postponed to August. So the whole issue is coming back before the board.
Just so I understand the procedure, Patrick, so as I understand the way it worked, the community center provided you outflow, so to speak?
They give me a detailed listing of monies that they have spent on fundraising activities, and included in that detail our salaries, for example, specifically one is they have an events coordinator down there who actually puts together a lot of the events that they're using for fundraising activities. So I get this detail. I go through it and make sure that it balances to the accounting detail that they give me, which is coming out of QuickBooks. And if it all adds up to their summary invoice, then we okay it and pay it.
Okay. So in other words, the procedure, the community center provides you some documentation. You review the documentation for accuracy, and then you pay out.
That's correct.
There's no other check to see if the monies are in other respects.
I could go down and audit every single payment that they turn into me, but I just don't have the time to do that, nor do we have the staff to do it right now. I mean, that would really be the only other check on it. I've got to rely on what they're turning into me and the accuracy of what they're turning in.
No, I'm not in no way being critical of what you're doing. There's a more serious issue here.
Okay.
I mean, we had specific guidelines as how the money should be spent, and if we didn't have staff to do it staff should have told us that. But I mean, anyway, I'll deal with that later.
Well, it is coming back to the board in August, so there will be an opportunity to have an airing of those issues. Any other questions of the finance officer? Thank you, Patrick. We'll now move to member and committee reports, and I believe we have a report from the Ad Hoc Parks and Recreation Committee. Director Chaldicott?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. We've got a four-page report from the Ad Hoc Committee, and the committee members were Patrick Badley, Jack Brelio, myself, Joan Cole, through strategic planning process, coordinating current disparate functions into an organized whole, and identifying funding sources and participating in the search for a permanent director. And the Ad Hoc Committee has identified potential funding and believes that a $200,000 grant may be possible. Number two was to integrate a stable funding stream. This is the hardest part, for the Parks and Rec Department into CCSD board approved funding strategies for community services that promote the well-being of Cambria residents, i.e. build-out reduction, forest management, and forest safety. And that's the hardest one, because that's finding money. And solutions we saw were short-term was to apply to local foundations for grants, to pay for interim director, seek additional state grant funds for physical facilities such as athletic fields and parks. And under long-term, approve a fee schedule based on projections of new construction and remodeling projects to fund the maintenance of existing PR facilities, including building open space and community recreation events and programs. The third bullet was to seek ballot approval for any assessments, such as an individualized Belarus or a community-wide assessment district, to acquire and maintain athletic fields, parks and trails, as well as ongoing costs of a Parks and Rec Department infrastructure. Then the third one was to modify the CCSD Ordinance number 101-204 relating to PROS Commission to assure continued quality community input. And there, I may as well read the whole thing. Since its inception, the Cambria PROS Commission has provided invaluable service to the community by first formulating and later updating the Parks and Recreation Master Plan. The committee believes that the Commission's capacity to solicit community input and advise the department as it moves towards being fully operational can be strengthened with some changes to the relevant ordinance. It's recommended, given that the terms of majority of the current members have expired, and the regular PROS Commission meetings be postponed until the ordinance has been modified and new members have been appointed. It is anticipated that one or more members will apply for continue to reaffirm the process as stated in the ordinance for the PROS Commission for advising the CCSD Parks and Rec Department, change the term of offices to 2 years with appointments to a second term possible with board approval, reduce the regular number of members to 5 with 5 appointed alternates, specify a process for member application and appointment by CCSD board, and lastly, require a minimum of quarterly meetings with greater frequency possible based on need. Now, as far as the PROS part, I did come up with a chart which is right here for you, which gives our current situation. There's not a great deal of difference between the two. The current one, we have the CCSD board with the PROS Commission reporting and requesting to the general manager and the board, and general manager supplying support staff as needed. And then at the bottom we see public input, which is an important part of this, and standing committees. And we had 10 commissioners, 4-year terms with a maximum of 4 plus 4, 8 years. And then the proposed below is very similar, except that we're introducing a Parks and Recreation Director, And the Parks and Recreation Director will have inputs from the Pros Commission, the support staff, and folks like North Coast Swap and the Community Center. There will be a few more professional people reporting to the Parks and Recreation Director. And on that basis, we thought the commission could be smaller with 5 active members with 2-year terms and a maximum of 2+2. And because it would be a 5-man commission, we would have 5 alternates, which was suggested by one of the commissioners. We thought it was a good idea, so we could always pull 5 commissioners at any one time to vote on things. And again, the support by the public, the input by the public will be the same. And the subcommittees would be as required, because we've had a lot, such as the ranch hands that have been, I just give that an example, and the trails have been practically permanent commissions. But if there wasn't a need, then we wouldn't have to appoint a commission. In other words, we'd appoint them as required. So that's basically the recommendation from.
Before we have the speaker who was asked to speak come up. I see a lot of merit in the plan. I see a lot of hard work that's gone into the plan, and it has a number of very laudable goals and objectives. It also gives us a very good history of expenditures for park recreation and open space over the many years since the PROS Commission has been in existence. My concern is this. Absent some very significant grant funding that would not entail any local match, I just don't see how we can afford to do this. We have a budget that is severely stressed. We have high-priority projects, as established by this board, which relate to solving the water storage problem, and that relates directly to fire safety in Cambria, and then the water supply problem. And the Pine Knolls water tank project, I think, is a good object lesson in how much these significant and important public works projects can cost. We have an engineer's estimate. By the time we get done constructing that project, we're going to be significantly over that engineer's estimate. And it doesn't relate to any fault on the part of the staff here or the engineering consultant. We have some very harsh economic realities in this world today, not the least of which is the cost of steel has gone through the roof owing to the emergence of the Chinese economy, where much of the world's steel supply is now going. So events are largely out of our control with respect to some of these expenses. And my view is that before we embark on any new and significant park and rec programs, we need to refocus on those priority projects that must be built in order to make this community safe. And those projects include the water storage projects and the water that had originally been budgeted for the community center. So those are my thoughts. And with that, Jim Ellman has filed a request to speak. Jim?
Mr. President and members of the board, first, thank you for the opportunity to speak before you today on this, what I believe to be a rather important matter. And the issue that I really am going to address specifically with the report has to do with the recommendations that deal with the Parks, Recreation, and Open Space Commission, or as we all know it, is called PROS. The ad hoc Parks and Recreation Committee report referenced in Agenda Item 6B makes numerous recommendations. And I want you to know that these recommendations are rather significant, but as it relates to the Parks, Recreation, and Open Space Commission. At our PROS meeting on July 13th, it was a very lively discussion, but I was clearly under the understanding, as well as the rest of the commissioners, that the recommendations as related to the Parks, Recreation, and Open Space Commission itself were rather minor, and they weren't being shared with us because the idea was that they needed to share it with you first. The first recommendation in that report specifically states, and I might add, it's not listed in the list of recommendations, it's kind of listed in the preamble there, but it states, PROS Commission meetings be postponed until the ordinance has been modified and new members have been appointed. This, in my opinion, makes no sense given the track record of PROS, and even in the report it says that PROS has provided an invaluable service to the community by first formulating and later updating the Parks and Recreation Master Plan. Now, if it weren't for PROS, I personally suspect it'd be very questionable whether or not we would have a crosstown trail, a enhanced parks and recreation program, a lot reduction program that in fact reduces water demands on the community and at the same time creates open space, and an effort by this particular commission to maintain the integrity of the downtown East Village historic community. Additionally, this PROS commission, we work hard to get someone on staff to write grants. This did not come from it was a great deal of work. This was a huge task. And I don't think this should be discounted, that the work that's been done by this commission should be, their meeting should be postponed so that some new, smaller advisory group could be established. Another important factor that I think you should be aware of is that PROS is a non-intimidating, friendly place for the community to present issues on parks, recreation, and open space. They come to us, they make presentations on issues, and in many instances, no, I shouldn't say many instances, in some of the instances, they never reach your district, the directors or the general manager, because they get resolved or addressed at that particular meeting. In other words, we filter out these things. By suspending meetings or eliminating PROS, what you in fact are going to do will be putting more work potentially on staff and perhaps have people address issues that need not be addressed at the PROS Commission, and they would come here instead. I don't know what the reason behind these particular proposals are, but it appears to me, and it's my only personal opinion, that there's a desire to get PROS out of the loop and quiet whatever our activities are. A few more points that I'd like to make is that these commissioners put a lot of time and effort into their activities, and they do it with a great deal of integrity, and at not only looking at the board and supporting the board and the general manager, because we have been very consistent in that direction, but also we're very interested in the community's needs. And some of the other recommendations that are included in the report are reducing the size of the commission, providing for alternates, which personally, I think the idea of alternates is not workable, but this is one of the proposals. And putting that aside, none of these recommendations were in concert with the commission. In other words, our commission was not involved in it. One of the commissioners was, as I understand, on the ad hoc committee but did not see the final report. Also, there's a recommendation in this report that says to specify a process for member applicants and appointments by CCSD board. And 2.5 years ago when we had our joint meeting, it was agreed there at that particular meeting that the board that relate specifically with PROS, they be submitted to PROS for analysis and to get our opinion as your advisors. If you wish to submit the entire report on the other issues, of course, we'd be happy to do that as well. And I'm available if you have any questions.
Any questions of Jim Ellman? Thank you, Jim.
Okay.
Director Funky Ballou?
Yes, I have a question of Peter. In listening to Mr. Ellman, I have to tell you that
I am a little curious as to what was the wisdom behind postponing future PROS Commission meetings?
That was only to avoid people knowing what the ground rules were. In other words, if the ordinance has changed, then people know what they're operating under. It was strictly that.
We also have a request to speak on this item from Steve Figler. Steve?
Hi. I'm a PROS commissioner, and I've been such since I think 02. My questions, similar to Jim's, are both our not having input in this, and also our August meeting being postponed, so that we would not have input into it, but also my concern that you have 10 people who have volunteered to do PROS work, and there's a lot of work to be done. We do it free. I'm wondering what the wisdom is to cutting that group down to 5. Presumably the work would be the same. I don't know what the value to CCSD and the town is to have half as many people doing the work on a volunteer basis. And I'd like that answered.
Thank you.
To be curious and unwise to reduce the amount of volunteer work that people are willing to do for free. This sort of thing, is an asset. And it seems to me that the board is saying, okay, we are not interested in the free public work that our citizens are willing to do.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. Any comments, questions? Director Funky Buller?
I share your thoughts that you aired out earlier before the public comment. And the more I think about it, the more I think that the speakers have the better argument. We should encourage volunteerism. I've stated this before, this town has a strong history of volunteerism. It's healthy. And until we hear that 10 people are fighting and having food fights and they're cursing each other out and it becomes unmanageable, I think we should continue with that spirit, especially when it's obvious that the members of the commission still want to help us. You know, if they tell us something, we're not obligated to accept what they're telling us. We can reject it. While I hear what Peter is saying, and you're right, in a sense that both sides have reasonable argument, but I think the speaker's position is more reasonable. So what I would like to do is get them involved and have them review this. I don't think it's that's too unreasonable, given their bona fides that they've established over the last 10, 15 years or so.
I think some review of this, of the entire report by the PROS Commission, would be beneficial to us. I think we should recognize the very positive contributions that PROS has made over many years, as memorialized in this ad hoc committee report. I seriously doubt that we'd have as extensive a trail system as we have were it not for the good work of PROS. I think PROS was a terrific advocate on the East-West Ranch acquisition. PROS has done many things in this
community. The working subcommittee, however they were composed, I indeed agree that we should engage a qualified interim Parks and Recreation Director. However, the timing on this is not too propitious, as there are, President of the Board just pointed out, there are some extraordinary circumstances with regards to the commitment for whatever funding we have to support. But the PROS Commission has, through a number of, and I might point out that the I think my first term of office and as President of the Board, Director Chaldicott has been on the PROS at the same time that the PROS Commission in its general current form was developed during that first term in office. This goes back to 1999, and it's been all volunteer, and if absent their commitment and the work that they're doing, volunteering, I don't know what we would do as a substitute. Just, you know, there is a need. In fact, we've got a potential park that's been sitting fallow since it's been part of the purchase of the East West Ranch. There's an opportunity there for volunteerism. We've spent a considerable amount of money supporting the building of additional tennis courts in cooperation with the high school. That was funding, and that was money out of the general fund. As if it continues to work, I think, as it has been, there's no financial obligation. It's just supporting, providing the kind of support that we have done out of the office, and with the association of the members of the board on a PROS commission. So I just figure if it ain't broke, just to try to fix it.
Mr. President?
Yes, Director Chaldicott.
Can you just clarify for me what? Yeah. How does acceptance of this report increase our chances for grant money?
Well, it would require, you know, board action to tell the general manager to pursue this grant. We've had a slot for a Parks and Rec director for some time. We just haven't funded it.
No, but you want us to accept this report because you believe that it would enhance grant money for us?
Well, that's just one little part of it, I think. I mean, you could not accept the report and still go after the grant funding.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would just like the report to be accepted and then, as suggested, passed across to the PROS Commission for their analysis. I mean, that would be just fine.
There's no legal difference between what Peter wants and the reverse, is there, Mr. Montandon?
Not really as far as the grant's concerned, but you receive many reports that you may not necessarily agree on every word, and you just receive and file the report, and that could be done in this case.
Yeah. I think there's wisdom in having PROS review this. We have a process. It's worked, I think, quite well over the years, and I think it would be appropriate to honor that process by having PROS review this report. Is there a consensus that we should do that?
And I'd support that. But I'd also like to focus on the putting some pressure on the county because obviously the flow of funds on from the county to unincorporated areas has definitely been in my experience, quite unequal. That's not to diminish the valuable critical amount of money that came with the $400,000 for the purchase of the East West Ranch. But that was a windfall. And then the I guess the general time, you know, the time in the last, you know, 10 or 15 years, there's just been dribbles. And there are many communities, even incorporated communities like Paso Robles, that got county money.
Further report back to the Board of Directors. We'll now move to the consent calendar. We will deal with the items that have been pulled from the consent agenda first. The first of those items is item 7C, which is consideration of a resolution authorizing the extension of Sergeant Major Associates contract for federal lobbying services. Director Funky Ballou, you ask that this be removed from the consent agenda.
Yes, I would like to ask my colleagues to consider, I'll make an alternative request. First, I recognize that I've been in the minority in terms of the efficacy of Sergeant Major and the desalination project and some other issues that we've had to suffer through. But even if my colleagues believe that the $7,500 a month is worth it, which I don't, but I sometimes you have to accept differing opinions and move on. But even if my colleagues still believe that we ought to commit $270,000 for the next 3 years, we live in very fluid, changing times. Things today are not going to be what they are tomorrow. And I'm very, very nervous about tying up district money, especially to the tune of almost $250,000, to a lobbyist. You know, 6 months, a year, okay, but a three-year lease with a lobbyist, I feel very uncomfortable with that, and that was my basis for removing it from the consent agenda. 6 months to a year would be the most that
I agree. I think you
can we clarify? It's through June 06, so it's 3 years from inception, but not 3 years.
Yeah, ahead. I think it's easy to misread this, but I think the bottom line is the contract is through June 30th, 2006, so it's a rather short contract.
Okay, obvious in what they do, and there's no question that Sergeant Major is well-known, well-respected, and they are well-connected, no question about it. But I think that Cambria is entitled to know what we get for our money. My wife is giving me a hard time about this, and she's a bright woman. So I think that she speaks for many people in town. And staff, do you think you can do that? Just what are we getting for our money in black and white, not just the fact that Sergeant Major plays golf with the state Senate pro tem or something like that, and he knows he says hi to a lot of people. I want him to be able to translate to my constituency that what we're getting for our money.
Yeah, I think that's a fair request. I know there's a couple of board members here today who might want to add to that staff report, having been with the principal of Sergeant Major Associates in Washington, D.C., and I think there are some very tangible and quantifiable benefits that can be pointed to, and so we'll have the staff do that. With that, is there a motion for item 7C?
I so move.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Opposed. Opposed.
Motion carries 3-1. The resolution is approved. The next item pulled from the consent agenda, is item 7E. Which is an item to approve an update list of grandfathered commitments, referencing Exhibit B of Ordinance 02-2000. I ask that this be pulled. I have a concern about the so-called Parks Landscape Irrigation Service commitments. And I'd like to have this item held for 1 month until the August meeting, and I'd like to have a report on the water consumption involving these Parks Landscape Irrigation Service commitments. Any questions? Any opposition to continuing this for 1 month? Item 7E is continued to the August meeting. The next consent.
This was an initial contract that began in 2004, and it's just is that? Am I correct? This is just another 1 year extension or something? Is that true?
Yes, this contract was put together in hopes of having her help us with Pine Knolls tanks, the screw press, dewatering project, and a few other projects. And as you know, those projects have been protracted a bit, and she's only been paid $11,000 to date. But what she has done to date has been really good. She's helped us work on the biosolids project, and is still helping us with that. And basically, all we're doing is extending it because those projects haven't been completed.
Okay, and this looks like it's more than. When does the contract expire? 2007. No, but the current one has expired June 30th, correct?
Right.
So essentially, we want a 2-year contract for her, correct?
Right.
Again, why two? Why for the same reasoning as before? I'm not going to bore you.
I really can't answer that because Bob wrote that, but I wouldn't have any problem with 1 year and then another.
May I comment for the district engineer?
Yes, Kathy.
The reason for June 30th, 2007 was only because of the timeline of the current projects and how they're playing out. And it doesn't change the budgeted amount of $78,000, only that every year. Since it expired June 30th, 2005, we tend to have contracts expiring, although they're still budgeted. So we just decided on this one, we would say 2007, figuring the $78,000. That may be all that's used over that period of time. We would not allocate any further budget expenditures without coming back to the board on it. But for now, $78,000 had been budgeted for her assistance.
Well, I hear what you're saying, but I think that we ought to limit it to 1 year maximum. And I would also like, I hear what you're saying, Brian, but again, if you can perhaps put something in writing as to what we're getting for our money, although I suspect that this will be a much easier job than the other one, but I may be wrong.
You'd be right on the first part.
And any comments or questions of Director Funky Blue? Is there a motion?
Just to get
somewhat involved in this, I appreciate the need to have some assistance for Bob Gressens as we progress through the various high priority projects that we have on our plate, including the Pine Knolls and Stewart Street water tank projects and desalination. So I'm going to support the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Opposed. Mr. President,
3-1. Yes, Director.
There's also an urban water master plan which he had to produce.
That's
part
correct.
Of just the, another little project on the way.
And a potential grant from the state to the tune of several million dollars that's hanging in the balance. We'll now move to consent agenda item 7J. I ask that this be pulled. I have no objection to the utility rate review. In fact, I'm one of the directors who has been pushing for this. However, the way this is written, it seems to me gives a blank check to the staff, and I'm not interested in doing that. I would rather see some evidence of a process by which firms who do this kind of work are evaluated, with the contract coming back to the board for approval.
Touché. Yeah, I was a little concerned at $50,000 going for what. I'm quite in favor of what you say.
Glad to see you finally came around, Mr. Sanders.
With that, and since I'm the one that pulled this from the consent calendar, I move that the staff be directed to solicit proposals from prospective vendors who do utility rate reviews and to bring a proposed contract back to the board.
I second it.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 4-0. We'll now return to the balance of the consent agenda, and the general manager will read the titles of items A, B, D, F, H, and I.
Approve expenditures for the month of June 2005. Resolution 41-2005, authorizing budget expenditure in the amount of $540,000 from the wastewater from water reserves in the water meter replacement project purchased from Badger Meter.
Is there a motion to approve the balance of the consent agenda?
So moved.
Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded to approve the balance of the consent agenda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. We'll now take a break until 2:35. We'll now move on to regular business. We've already taken care of item 9A. We'll move to item 9B, which is consideration of a resolution placing in nomination Donald Villeneuve as a member of the Association of California Water Agencies Region 5 board member. This is a very controversial item. Don, would you like to say a few words about what your duties will be?
Well, I'm not even officially nominated yet, but I've already been working with them for their September meeting down in Santa Barbara. And since I opened my big mouth and said that, well, I'm familiar with the area down there and the different water agencies, so they may be an unofficial chairperson, I guess, because I've been lining up some of the presenters, but it's all done by email so far. But this is it's a very large area. It covers all of, in fact, most of the agencies belonging to the this particular area goes up as far as the Bay Area, including East Bay MUD. I love that term. The East Bay Mutual Water District, which is just a bit smaller than the Metropolitan Water District in Southern California. So you've got one of the largest water agencies in California, and it provides a voice in the Association of Water California Water Agencies, which is the AQUA. And AQUA is a very powerful presence in, for example, Washington, D.C. And that's what we need to keep our, you know, keep the squeaky wheel going and see if we can get some help with our financing issues.
Great. Thank you, Don.
Can we take that as a yes?
is there a motion to approve the resolution?
Yes. I'd like to move that we adopt Resolution 42-2005, supporting nomination of Director Villeneuve as AQUA 5 representative.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded to adopt the resolution. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item 9C is consideration of a resolution authorizing a draft memorandum of understanding with Greenspace regarding transfer of commercial EDU to Greenspace's Center Street property. Is there a staff report?
Yeah, I'll just fiscal impact of this is nothing. Just the discussion here is Greenspace approached the CCSD about obtaining water service for its Center Street property for future commercial building that it plans to construct. The proposed facility will serve as the administrative office of Greenspace and an educational, ecological, and environmental museum open to the public. In exchange for water service, Greenspace has offered a permanent retirement of the following lots on Hillcrest and Emerson, both in Cambria. An existing commercial EDU became available in another recent property transaction between the CCSD and Cambria Pines Nursery. Cambria Pines Nursery agreed to transfer one existing commercial EDU from its property to Greenspace Center Street property. Staff recommends that the transfer, since it will serve as a public benefit. The attached memorandum of understanding sets forth provisions for the successful transfer of the commercial EDU between Cambria Pines Nursery and Greenspace to the Center Street property. Attachments Resolution 43-2005, Memorandum of Understanding, Covenant and Agreement Restricting Use of the Property. And attached, you have that.
Right. Any questions of the Acting General Manager? Is there a motion to approve the resolution?
I'll adopt the resolution.
For the work on this project, which I think was well put together.
I agree, and I think we should also recognize Wayne Atto and Rick Hawley. I think they're here today in the audience, aren't they? Yes, for their work on this as well. I think this is a very good example of the CCSD working hand in glove with a nonprofit agency and Cambria that will result in a project that will benefit everybody.
You know, Rick, now in the history of the relationship between CCSD and Greenspace, apparently we're now in the love phase, right? Let's just keep it going, okay?
Exactly. Thank you, Wayne and Rick. It's a good project. We will now move to the public comment portion of the meeting. I have a considerable number of requests to speak. As best I can tell, they involve two issues. The first is, I believe, involving use of the Midstate, former Midstate property for parking during Pine Dorado. And I'm going to have Norm Palmer, who filed a request to speak, come up first. Remind the others who have filed requests to speak on this issue that we try and not be repetitive, and perhaps Norm can give us the message that the Lions Club wants us to hear. Norm?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the board, I'm Norm Palmer, president of the Lions Club of Cambria. And as you all know, dealing with things like conservation easements are very controversial and difficult. Usually result in a lot of unnecessary red tape, usually unnecessary cost, and a lot of unnecessary heartburn. As you, we all feel that the tank should have been up on Pine Knolls months ago, and because of this easement and so forth, we're waiting. We feel we're in the same position. We're dealing with the conservation easement and the management plan on the East-West Ranch. We're asking you to apply common sense, good reason, and considering our request that we be allowed to use the East-West Ranch Midstate Bank portion for parking for Pine Dorado. For 55 years, due to the generosity, we were informed by Ms. Butler that we would not be able to use the property. It was the first indication that we had that there was a possibility that the property would be lost to us for parking for Pine Dorado. In 2004, the Lions Club spent $670 in specific advertising to advise the public that the parking for Pine Dorado would be on the rodeo grounds, which was the approved program of Northwest SWAT. We made special signs to direct people to Pine Dorado parking on the rodeo grounds. After the parade was over on Saturday, it was noted that there were 12 to 15 cars in the rodeo grounds, and there were approximately 300 cars on the west side of Highway 1 between Santa Rosa Bridge and Windsor, and all of the people from those vehicles were crossing Highway 1 on foot coming to the Pine Dorado grounds. That situation created a very serious liability problem, I believe. If someone had been hit and killed on Highway 1, who would be liable? We've been using that parking over there for years. Now we're told we can't, and we're all involved in whether or not the cars park here or there in this issue. So we hope that you will give us consideration. That land, for some who don't know, has been used for many years for a lot of things besides parking. There have been circuses over there, carnivals, off and on for many years. And we hear talk that some want to completely revert the property to its original condition. If that were to be done, we would no longer be in this building, because that was Santa Rosa Creek. And the creek came right through this building, and so we're not going back to where we were. So I'm asking the board to look at all aspects of the management plan. It's a living document. There are specific items in the management plan for changing the management plan, and there are also situations which allow the manager to use his discretion in some issues. And I'm asking you to look at all of these issues, help us change the document so that we don't have to go through this in the future. And
the board asked me to look at this issue again to see whether we were permitted, based on the documents that were recorded in title, on allowing parking on that property. And looking at the maps and the agreement, we're not allowed to allow vehicles on the property. It doesn't mean that sometime in the future, if we go through the agreements and the parties involved, could possibly change that. One of the hurdles we do have is the funding for this particular project, and maybe just this portion of it, was from Caltrans. It's called ICE-T money. You know, it's viewshed money for protecting the viewshed from the highway. And fortunately, they're an organization that's concerned about traffic safety, and we could work with board direction to achieve that goal before next year, but as it currently stands, it is prohibited.
Art, can you describe the process that is necessary in order to amend the conservation easement and the management agreement?
Well, first we would sit down with North Coast SWAP and look at the agreements to make sure that we agree that what their intent and what they say is correct. Then we would look back at the funding agency's requirements to see whether we need their approval. I would assume that Caltrans would need to approve the changes in the agreement that would allow parking on that site. Also, if I remember correctly, we had granted to the county an easement for drainage on that site. They actually paid us for it some years ago, so we would have to ensure that they aren't concerned or would agree to allow their easement to be used for these purposes.
Any questions of the general counsel?
Yes.
Director Funky Bullitt.
What's the basis for your opinion that parking is prohibited?
The conservation easement does not allow vehicles on the property. And then the next thing I did is looked at all the maps to make sure that this particular portion was covered, and it is.
But God knows I've seen automobile tracks on part of the ranch where I live, off Huntington, and I've seen vehicles go on the ranch. I've seen vehicles go on the ranch, I think, for Singular or T-Mobile, whatever, to investigate sites. So why are exceptions made for that, and why not for some of these local lions?
Well, I'll admit that it doesn't specifically say that you can't park on this property for purposes of a public event. The T-Mobile agreement does have an exception, I believe, the management plan.
What's the enforcement mechanism? What happens if parking is approved for Pine Dorado and whoever is entitled to enforce the conservation easement doesn't like it?
I believe North Coast Swap is entitled to enforce the conservation easement. Also, the funding agencies, if they have specific conditions in their grant of funds, could enforce it by seeking to get the funds back. You don't see that often, but it is written into most of those agreements that we would have to pay the money back for not using the money for the purposes it was granted for. I don't know, without looking again at the easement, where there's a private enforcement right. There may be. There isn't a lot of those types of easements.
Is there any kind of savings language in any of the agreements that allows for activities that have been going on there for 55 years? Any sort of implied grandfather clause, something like that, to allow us to continue this?
No. That's a zoning type concept, and it wasn't incorporated into this contractual document.
Now, I have to tell you, I cannot believe that. I can't speak for the rest of my colleagues, but I can tell you I was here, and but I cannot believe that we had any intent on cutting back activities that have been going on for half a century that's part of this town. You know, if we didn't have that tradition, and what Mr. Palmer says is, I mean, it just makes common sense. They go out of their way to advertise new parking. And the results of that, and you can see the power of tradition. You get all the people who come years and years, and they bring their children and grandchildren, and they're used to parking there, and a little sign that says, go park in the radio ground, is not going to cut it, and apparently it didn't. And I disagree. I don't think there's any risk of liability for us. I'm not sold on that, but I am definitely sold on the tradition and the fact that it's only 4 days a year. And there's got to be a way out, and I agree with him. I don't want this to be another Coastal Commission thing. You know, if I think we ought to do it, you're the lawyer. Find us a way out.
One moment. It's unfortunate that there wasn't an exception made for this event in the bottom of what is now basically a flood detention basin periodically in order to make sure the capacity is there to hold water in the case of a torrential downpour?
I don't know the answer. I was asking Brian. He says that he doesn't know of them going in there. It's
okay, but it is a flood control detention basin.
That's correct.
It was designed to be such, and that's its function presently. Okay.
I want to tell you, I totally agree with, there was a letter that Vern Hamilton wrote to Ms. Rudock, made perfect sense. This is another one of those classic situations where I think both sides are absolutely correct, but I have to lean in favor of tradition. That's my bias.
Okay, we have a number of other requests to speak on this issue. If I was sitting in the audience reading the tea leaves, I would follow my father's old admonition that if you think you're on the winning side, it's better just to shut up and not speak. So if you don't mind, maybe it would be in order for the board to take some sort of action here, and if you're dissatisfied with it, then by all means come up and tell us that you don't like it. Is that okay? Mr. Hawley.
Is this part of public comment on this issue? Or
yeah.
Okay.
You have a contrary voice that you'd like to express.
I got some information that might be relevant.
Okay, why don't you come up if you're...
Remember, Rick, we're still in the love phase.
Are you paying or what? Thank you. just a little history on that piece of property. It was a wetland for probably eons, as opposed to 50 years of use with automobiles, and I use the term automobiles just occasionally, and I have seen a definite circus there, that type of thing. But more germane to the issue is that when Mid-State Bank got its project approved, they were supposed to put a constructed wetland there, and that's part of the conditions of their building. The county, because there's a major flood control project going in there, which makes that whole area a wetland. And what happened with when they built Highway 1, it separated the natural floodplain, which that part of the bank property was. And during big storm events, there's a split flow on Santa Rosa Creek. And Mr. Palmer is absolutely right. The creek did flow down Main Street, but the main thrust of the current stayed in the Thalweg, or the main channel. So this whole area was a shock absorber that prevented a lot of damage. When they built Highway 1, it's a dike, and it separates an ecological function. So while I have great sympathy about the parking issue, I would really be cautious about trying to undo a conservation easement that has a lot of layers on it that you may not be aware of. One of them is the mitigation that the bank had to do to construct a wetland. The other one is that it is part of a major flood control project that protects everything on the West Village. That's a retention basin, true. And it collects water, and there'll be a passage underneath Highway 1 right there at Cambria Drive and where Highway 1 intersects. And it'll let the split flow of that creek go through that property and underneath the bridge. And part of that project is raising Cambria Drive and raising a good portion of Highway 1 to be more than a 50-year event. So there's going to be a lot of things happening there, and it may preclude parking whether you want it there or not.
Well, that could happen in the future, Rick, but and that may impede us in terms of getting a special carve-out or exemption in the conservation easement. But in terms of the Pine Dorado event coming up in September of this year, that flood control project is not going to go forward.
Oh, yeah, it's not going to happen in 2 months.
Right.
I agree.
Right. Okay.
The parking issue is a big issue, I agree, and yeah. I've certainly parked out there myself.
Yeah.
In terms of the safety going across Highway 1, it points out, once again, that the light that they established on Main Street should have been there, and then yeah. It would have...
And that light...
Yeah. Army Corps of Engineers came in there and said, yes, indeed, there's low-grade wetlands. There's three or four spots there. Their bank went over one of them, and part of the mitigation for that and allowing them to build there and infilling that floodplain was to construct a wetland in lieu of...
But what do you do to construct a wetland? You just plant trees?
Well, I think... If you notice how they graded it, there's a low spot there that water collects, and when water collects in that type of soil, it becomes hydric soil, and you get wetland plants and wetland critters that start to populate that area.
Okay.
Could I speak?
Please.
Yeah, that's the condition of it at the present time, but and who knows how far in the future the county's flood plan is. Generally speaking, from my experience, and that's within the last since I moved up here, is that the county has plans for a number of projects. One of the priorities, which eliminated the Highway 1 Cambria Drive signal, delayed it, was because they Caltrans decided that they're going to go ahead and put in a new bridge at Leffingwell, and that money, that the STIP money, was diverted away from that that signal there at Cambridge Pines Drive and the Highway 1. What I'm getting to is that right now there may be an incipient development of a wetlands in that area, but when the county is going to get around to doing the flood control process, which Rick just mentioned, they're going to raise Highway 1 at Cambria Drive, and they're going to have a escape route for excess water. There's going to be a lot of excavation there. There's not, you know, it will then have to wait until another number of years before that basin will be restored into a wetland. And so what I'm saying is that what is there now is not going to stay there. But that's something in the future. Right now, I just assume that they're going to be doing it in some short period of time within the next couple of years, and that may be a kind of a mitigation for the use of that area for parking, because that's going to be disturbed sometime in the near future anyhow with the envisioned flood control project that the county has.
Okay. Thank you, Director Villeneuve.
Could I just comment on that?
Please.
It appears then that if the best happened, we got permission to use this for parking, it may well be eliminated a few years down the line when the flood control project comes through. So the best we could hope for is a project which, a waiver which would last for a few years.
I have a request to speak on this issue that was just handed to me from Bob Rippey. Are you intending to speak for or against the
for
parking?
Yes.
Okay. We're going to hold in abeyance those comments until we decide what to do here, and then you can come up and hang us all if you don't like the outcome. What is the pleasure of the board on this issue?
I'd like to see the our attorney see if he can get a waiver, which may only last for a couple of years, to enable parking. Or if there is a real problem with that, then come back and say that, no, it's not possible. But I would like him to see if there's a possibility of getting a waiver, at least for this year and then future years.
Okay. Before I turn to our general counsel, it's a bit uncertain as to who has the final authority over what activities can take place and what activities cannot take place. But as the owner of the property, it seems to me we have the right to approve a use and suffer the consequences if the conservation easement holder doesn't like it. Is that correct? Putting you on
well,
the spot.
I mean, maybe you can ask Elon. I mean, if you violate the law, I mean, you can do it, but I mean, whether you get away with it at the end is another question.
What is your suggestion again, Director Chaldicott?
Would be what General Counsel suggested, to see if he can work with stakeholders and.
I think the Lions Club needs to know as soon as possible what the decision is, and I, for one, would be willing to have a special meeting of the board if necessary in order to approve the use, depending upon deliberations with those people.
And isn't there another activity that we allow on the ranch where once a year people with horses do their thing?
I believe so. I'm not sure if that's specifically mentioned in the management document.
Included in the conservation easement.
That was expressly mentioned? That was expressly
mentioned? Yes.
As is the cell tower.
Yeah, you see, I mean, I think this was just a total innocent oversight. I don't think anyone on the board or staff or anyone, this was so part of the ranch history. I don't see parking as being inconsistent with open space forever as being the guide. So there's some ambiguous language in there, Art. You can find it. I know you can.
Pine Dorado is also a part of the culture of Cambria. That includes parking. That includes the hayride, which went down into that area occasionally. So I would support a resolution of this issue in favor of parking on the property.
Yeah, I mean, at this time?
Well, I should.
Or after we have our attorney, you know, try to negotiate. I was going to say that I think a cogent point is the hazard that's created by having, and I noticed that last time around. I thought, my God, it's somebody's going to get creamed, and they had highway patrol out there. I would think that in addition to the other agencies that maybe some support for the interim use on the parking in the would be support from the both Caltrans that dedicated that property and are essentially owners of the agency that provided that as a conservation easement and highway patrol and use that as a public safety issue.
Yeah, my suggestion.
May I
please
suggest this is brought up in public comment. It's not a listed item on the agenda. You can give direction to staff, and the direction as I see it is to meet with the different stakeholders to see if we can work out something to accommodate the upcoming Pine Dorado.
Fair enough.
If we see something in the documents to require some formal approval of the board, we'll contact the president, and the president is authorized to call a special meeting. Regardless, we'll notify all of you of what we've found and what progress we make.
That's fine.
Can I ask Chief something? From a fire suppression perspective, are we any safer if everybody parks where they've been parking for half a century versus parking along Highway 1 and stuff like that? Is it half a dozen, one-sixth of another?
It's probably six of one, half dozen of another.
From a fire safety point of view?
From the public safety standpoint, it's obviously a lot safer not having to cross the highway.
Right.
And if I may, since I've stolen the mic away from the board president, ask a representative of the Lions Club to give me a schematic of the area they would like to have parking approved. And if Rick Hawley is still here, if he could identify the documents, maybe it's the environmental document for the Mid-State Bank where the wetlands are identified, that would greatly assist me also.
Great. So I think the representatives here today from the Lions Club and others who would like to see parking on that property for the upcoming Pine Dorado event, you understand we're doing everything we can, and we're going to try and reach a resolution of this that is favorable.
And perhaps if, as we continue in this love phase, we can have green space coordinate with the Lions Club and perhaps narrow the scope of the parking to minimize damage to plants and species and so forth.
Sure.
I'm sure both those organizations are very civic-minded in that sense.
Okay. Thank you. We'll now have Susan Harvey come back up. She was rudely interrupted by me at the beginning of the meeting.
President Sanders, I'd like, if I could, again, to interrupt you.
Yes, please.
I had an opportunity to speak with some of the people who are coming up to the microphone right now to provide public comment, and I'm not discouraging them from coming up and saying whatever they feel is appropriate. But one of the concerns they raised outside was the possibility that the district in its loss October 20th, also on that calendar is whether the issue of whether we can take Sarah Christie, the enforcement officer's deposition. And as I told the people outside, that is not my intent to try to depose anyone else between now and the ruling on that motion. The case may well be gone at that point, and we'd have no authority to. And so I would state on the record that that's what I intend to do, and also that we would not issue any more deposition subpoenas until we finish the deposition of Sarah Christie, because what that would give us is information on whom else could provide relevant evidence in the case.
Thank you. Susan Harvey.
Thank you.
You bet.
Thank you to Mr. and Mrs. Montadon for discussing this issue with us outside before.
I am Susan Harvey. I have spoken at numerous public forums from the federal and state level down to advisory and ad hoc groups on issues of importance to residents of San Luis Obispo County.
This makes the second time that you've been so rudely interrupted.
I appreciate the opportunity.
Susan, I have, assuming there are no,
there is not another Susan Harvey here. You are Susan Harvey of Geneseo Road in Paso Robles.
Okay.
Item 5,
so then we
resubmit
it.
Okay.
So we
need to. But you're the Susan Harvey of Paso Robles?
Yes.
Okay,
thank you.
I'm a grassroots activist, and I'm a friend of Eric Greening and Pam Hetherington. The heart and success of democracy is public participation in the process. No one can deny that it is this wisdom of the crowd that is the foundation of the quality and longevity of the American system. Autocracy does not endure, does not succeed. It always fails its goals because of its myopic, narrow view and predisposition to tyranny. I am here today to condemn your legal representative's decision to consider subpoenaing local activists Eric Greening and Pam Hetherington for speaking out for some of the rest of us in the community in opposition to your original Pine Knolls water tank project. Whatever your intentions, your tactic of intimidation and oppression in a targeting strategy.
Did you not hear the explanation that
was
given?
Yes, and I appreciate what he said. But the problem is, it's my position that Eric Greening or Pam Hetherington have no information to offer you, and that your intention in subpoenaing them was to squash and chill public participation in the process. Many people spoke at these hearings. I just don't see it as a.
What evidence do you have that it was ever our intention to subpoena Ms. Hetherington and Mr. Greening?
I have heard before, and Mr. Montadon acknowledged that they had plans. No subpoena was issued, but they had contacted the Attorney General regarding subpoenaing Sarah Christie, Eric Greening, and Pam Hetherington. And I understand that Ms. Christie is a legitimate target because she is a representative of the Coastal Commission and involved in this. But it is my contention as an activist that Eric Greening and Pam Hetherington are not suitable targets.
Well, you're assuming that they were targets, and I
think that that's not in dispute. If you were threatening to or talking to the Attorney General about subpoenaing them, I think that automatically makes them a target.
Hey, Art, is that true?
I never spoke directly with the Attorney General about subpoenaing them, but we have outside counsel assisting us on that. I wanted to speak with Mr. Greening and sent the message through a mutual friend to do so. I think the appropriate time, and as I said before, is that after our deposition of Sarah Christie, we may find out they have relevant information, they may find out they don't, and we can make the decision at that point.
I understand you're not wanting to discuss whether these people were under threat of subpoena, but how would the Attorney General have their names if they were not?
Well, you know, as maybe it's because I'm an attorney, but let me tell you something. I mean, when you say the threat of a subpoena, I mean, that's one of the crux. I mean, that's one of the cores of the way we do legal business in this country. It's not a threat. It's a right. You get a legal process from a judge called a subpoena, and to say that somehow that's below the table for us when we're involved in this lawsuit. And the only subpoena that has gone out as of this moment today is to Ms. Christie. I'm very disappointed.
Well, I'm sorry that you're very disappointed. The fact is, those were two representatives of the public who are participating in the public process. and whether or not you feel that your intentions would have deleterious effect on them or their health or the rest of the public speaking on this, that is, in fact, the effect that has happened.
Let me ask you something. Let's assume our government is investigating a terrorist.
You know, I don't particularly want to have a discussion with you about the suitability of this. I'm here to make my statement on behalf of grassroots activists and how I believe that this kind of tactic isn't necessary and isn't suitable in San Luis Obispo County.
We just want to make sure that you understood the comments of the general counsel
before
you started, and your statement led me to believe that you hadn't heard him.
I spoke with him outside.
Okay.
And it still doesn't address the question of why you are targeting Eric or Pam at all.
We are not targeting. Why do you say that?
Okay, let's
conclude your statement. Because we don't need to have this argument here.
Conclude
That's for
your
the
statement.
Public to decide.
Please conclude your statement.
Thank you. This whole nightmare for our local grassroots representatives of the American progress process should have ended when you received your permit. You are now seeking court costs. Eric and Pam had no part to play in your initial suit, and they have nothing to do with your ongoing legal wrangling. I am asking you today to publicly declare that Eric Greening and Pam Hetherington's name will be officially and permanently removed from consideration for subpoena. Or is it your position that this kind of chilling attack and intimidation of citizens' participation in the public process is an acceptable tactic? We don't believe this is an acceptable tactic.
Are you finished?
I was prepared to speak, and I submitted comments at a Coastal Commission meeting on this also. I don't see that there's any difference between them and the many other people who spoke on this.
Like any other responsible public agency, we are not going to have a public dialogue about pending litigation. When it's all over with, I think we'd be happy to respond to your questions. Thank you.
Mr. President?
Yes.
Could we clarify whether, in fact, we do have a permit, as was mentioned?
Creston?
That's correct.
Thank you.
Thank you for this opportunity to speak. I did hear counsel's remarks, but I would like to make my statement, and please not be attacked. My name is Maria Lorca. I live in Creston, and I've been a county resident for 46 years. I'm here to protest the unnecessary inclusion of fellow citizen Eric Greening in your legal battles over the water tank issue. My protest is addressed especially to President Greg Sanders, as the head of any organization is responsible for its conduct. Mr. Greening has been speaking out with reason, consideration, and respect on behalf of us all and on behalf of this county for years. Attacking and harassing the opposition is a tactic that we are seeing on a national level. But this is the very first time I have seen this sharp practice tactic used in our county, in such an outrageous, heavy-handed, and bizarre manner. It's hard to see the merit in your keeping this case open in an attempt to collect attorney fees. Our information is that the CCSD, not the Coastal Commission, asked to recover fees. This is a matter of record and easy to confirm, but perhaps you could clarify that point for us today. But regardless, the ratepayers in Cambria will certainly be interested in knowing the amount you have spent on attorney fees, especially in light of your stressed budget, and especially in what amount of that public money you have spent attacking the members of the public who spoke out against your plan. I don't know anything about the amount of ratepayer money you've spent on attorney fees. Neither does Mr. Greening. Therefore, I propose that you depose me in his place. The information you will get will still be just nothing, but you will have done one good thing in sparing Eric Greening from the threat of being deposed. I join other speakers here today in asking for a public pledge from President Sanders to drop every single plan to depose Mr. Greening now or in the future. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Again, no responsible public agency is going to have...
I was told I could speak at 1 o'clock. It was an hour and a half drive, but I was told I couldn't speak till now. So here I am and had to ask directions on how to get here. First of all, the concern, Mr. Sanders, is that people are concerned about this kind of, they feel, a Karl Rove, that if you do something that people who are in a position of power or lawyers or whatnot, that you're going to get punished. Now, maybe you think this is all innocent, but Eric Greening, who is my friend, and he has a photographic mind, and if he has a reason to worry, I believe him. I have no reason to believe he is being false, that this is all a mirage, because I know Eric. And so do you, and you know that he's concerned for a reason. And I think the public needs to know something about
Ma'am,
Eric.
You can address
Eric,
the board.
I can address you everybody. Can, no. I'm addressing everybody. And I don't want to, please.
You will please address the board.
I am addressing everybody. And first of all, Eric doesn't have a home.
You can show a little courtesy and address the board.
I'm here to show some courtesy and let me have my 3 minutes.
Thank you.
And then you can just whatever you want.
You have
Eric doesn't
minutes.
Have a home. Eric doesn't have family. And Eric doesn't have health. We have all those things. And he's worried about this, and we all want Eric to continue to be he's so decent, and we all want him part of the community. He's a decent human being who treats people with respect. And that's all I have to say.
I couldn't agree with you more. I've had many conversations with Eric, and I find him to be a very decent human being, as do you. I believe that's all the request to speak that we have. Is there anybody else here who would like to? Excuse me, Doug Buckmaster. You filed a request to speak form. Sorry, Doug.
That's okay.
Got lost in the shuffle here.
That's all right. I'm going to stand up for my rights. I am very distressed at the tremendous cost of litigation. Perhaps over $2 million in the last couple of years from the CCSD from ratepayers' money. First, serving the water users on the San Simeon Creek and Santa Rosa Creek basins is ridiculous. More recently, against the California Coastal Commission, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars have been, I would say, wasted. Now, I'm not an attorney, so I don't understand all the legal ramifications, but this expenditure is one of the reasons.
You're putting into your figures the contingent fee that was paid to the Kotchett Petrie firm who represented us in the litigation against Chevron, and that was to recover monies from Chevron for having dumped MTBE into our water supply. We have not spent $2 million on legal fees in the last 2 years. Would the general counsel like to speak to that?
I can respond regarding the Coastal Commission case. I believe the total amount spent to date, it's about $50,000 in that case, but it wasn't necessarily to pursue our action. It was to defend ourselves from the action brought by the Coastal Commission also, which is still ongoing. Our action was heard in one hearing, and it is currently on appeal, and I'm handling that portion in-house, so it costs us no extra money.
I think it bears repeating that the Coastal Commission sued the CCSD and the county. We, as a matter of defending ourselves, had to cross-complain, but the actual corpus of the litigation was started by the Coastal Commission. And we have not spent $2 million. It's not even close to that in legal fees. In fact, this board has made a conscious effort to ratchet down the cost of outside counsel, and I think we've succeeded in doing that. Is there anybody else that would like to speak on this or any other issue?
Mr. President. I'd just like to talk about the cost. There has been major costs and redesigns that we've had to come up with. We're into our fourth or fifth iteration based on trying to do something that the Coastal Commission will accept.
The significant cost in terms of the Pine Knoll water tank issue is for engineering. And when this is all said and done, I think we may publish a white paper on the process, and I think the community will begin to understand why the engineering costs are what they are. Mr. Hawley?
Still part of the Love Fest. Rick Hawley, I'm a resident of Cambria. And I guess I'm missing some information here because I find this whole thing real interesting, and I don't understand what's going on with these lawsuits. And I was hoping that maybe 95% of the capacity that you wanted to originally. And why is this thing still going on? And why not just get on with business and get it constructed? And I do understand you have to do re-engineering and that type of thing. What's the delay? And who's are you guys delaying this?
Well, I can. I'll speak to the delay. The Coastal Commission's approval of the Pine Knolls Water Tank project involved a set of parameters that include such things as the capacity of the tanks. But the Coastal Commission left to the Coastal Commission staff the final approval authority over the site plan for the tanks. That is, where will they be specifically sited on the property? Proposed site plan was given to the Coastal Commission staff almost a month ago, and we've heard nothing back from the Coastal Commission staff. And that's the way this process has gone on for months. It is extremely frustrating. We understand that the Coastal Commission staff is seriously overworked, but we have a serious public safety issue here in Cambria that needs to be addressed, and we want to build this project. As soon as the Coastal Commission staff approves the site plan for the Pine Knolls Water Tank project, probably a whole lot of this controversy will go away. General Counsel?
I'd like to add something, which is basically a question I answered outside. Once the Coastal Commission staff approves our site plan, then what we are required to do to build the project, to send the site plan to our engineers, probably spend another $40,000 for the detailed drawings to be able to have those drawings to put out to bid. I heard estimates of 3 or 4 months for those drawings. Once those drawings are complete, because we're a public agency, we have to go through the bidding process. That'll take a couple more months. So we're pretty much, if we get approval today, 8 months away from turning over any dirt.
Right. Was there one more request to speak? Yes, sir.
My name is Bob Rippey. I live here in Cambria. I come from Phoenix, Arizona, where I lived for 20 years. And what I want to address is the parking in the retention areas. In Phoenix and Scottsdale and that area, and obviously there must not be much of a liability involved here in the fact that I think it was 1981 or two, two gentlemen were playing golf in the retention area, which it has a regular golf course there. They were playing golf, and one of these storms came along. As it may be hard to believe, but Phoenix does have rainstorms and floods there. The two gentlemen decided to go swimming because the water was coming through there. One of them came back, and they're still enlarging and using these retention areas for the same purposes of recreation and so on. I mean, they've... So there is maybe it's some enlightenment.
Okay.
Hopefully the liability. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Please, let's show courtesy to the speakers to the extent that you were shown courtesy. Is there anybody else that wishes to speak? If not, we will adjourn to closed session. Meeting is adjourned.